Hi, I'm Ozzy. Welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I believe that stories are powerful, and by sharing, we can grow together. That's why I created the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast, to share the unique stories and experiences of African immigrants abroad. Each week, you'll hear topics pertaining to education, healthcare, and career choices, or just pure banter. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Guys, we're looking for exciting love stories to share during the month of love for Valentine's Day. So if you know you have an amazing story about how you met your partner and you'd love to share that with the world, go ahead and reach out to us on social media through Instagram, African Princess in America, or you can send an email, talesbydrozzy@gmail.com. Can't wait to hear your stories. Hi guys, welcome to today's episode, and today we're talking about something really interesting. It's one of those solo episodes, so you have me all to yourself today, and I'll be talking to you about something I've tried to wrap my mind around for the past 1 year. It's a lesson that I feel like I'm probably at the point where I have a little grasp on it, and so I feel comfortable enough to talk about it, and I really hope that it sparks your curiosity. I hope that you reach out with feedback, I hope you have comments, and I hope it starts a conversation, and you're able to carry on this conversation with your friends and your families, and you guys talk about it and it becomes a thing. All right. Okay, so today we're talking about managing expectations. So an expectation is a strong belief that something will happen, and you can also call it a presumption, an assumption, a belief, or supposition, whatever, but you just really feel like something is going to happen. I have to tell you guys, I've always had high expectations of everyone. I'm telling you, every single person I come in contact with, I've had really high expectations. And so for me, it's been a lesson just to learn how to manage my expectations when those things, or manage my emotions when those expectations are not met. There were times when I expected things of my parents and they came through for me. And there were times when my parents, set these expectations and I also fulfilled these expectations. So growing up, I always felt like, okay, when people make promises to you, they're going to keep them. But growing, just having moved through life and maturing, I'm learning that that's not always the case. If you have kids, you know that one of the most demanding things that you can do is to promise your kids something. You know that they will, every time they wake up, they'll ask you for those things. Now, I see this with my nieces and my nephews, where I promise them something, and every time they see me, they're like, Auntie Hilsa, did you buy this? So kids have this, they cling to the promises that we make them, and that's really important. I'll give you guys an instance. When I was growing up, my dad promised to buy us phones, cell phones, and he made this promise to us. I probably was in high school at this time, and let me tell you, every single opportunity I got, I would ask him for the cell phone. We would have morning devotion. When it was time for a prayer request, I would say, hey, I really pray that God will touch people who have promised to buy your stuff to actually fulfill their promises. I had really high expectations, and every time he'll come home from work, I would rush out to see if he bought it that day. And I did this for a long time until one day I rushed out and he had these gift bags and he had bought myself and my sister cell phones, and it was such a happy day. So you see, I grew up having people make promises to me and actually fulfill them. Sometimes it took longer than I thought it would, but I always lived in anticipation that, okay, this person has made this promise, they're going to fulfill that promise. But as we grow, we know that these things don't always happen. People make promises all the time and they don't fulfill those promises. So we need to learn how to manage our expectations. Over the past year, one of the things that I've learned that works really, really, really well is communicating effectively. I've learned over the past year to manage my expectations of others. So I'll give you an example when I had expectations of others. I'll give you an example of a time when I thought that certain people had some expectations of me, right? I know this is kind of crazy, but when I was in grad school, I had friends that were, would text me all the time and say, hey, can we have lunch? And I didn't have a credit card at the time. And so my friends would text me and say, hey, do you want to have lunch? Now I'm sitting in my room. I received this text message and here I am trying to make friends and try to expand my circle, but I don't have the money to have lunch with someone every single day, right? I can't eat out every single day, but I'm sitting on my bed and I'm like, oh my God, they expect me to have lunch with them. What am I going to do? Okay. So if I say no, they're probably going to think that I'm antisocial. But are we at the point in a relationship where I can tell them I don't have money? Like, I don't want to be that person that tells everybody we'll have problems, you know? And so I'm sitting there thinking, what should I really do? And then I send a text message. I'm like, oh, you guys, I already had some food. I'm not hungry right now. What I've done in that instant is I haven't communicated effectively what the problem really is. And so the next day, they're texting me again. They're like, hey, do you want to hang out today? Have you eaten? Make sure you don't eat now. You're going to have dinner afterwards. And I'm in the same dilemma. I'm caught in the same web where I just can't really express myself. And because of that, I feel that these people have these expectations of me. I tried to come up with excuses why I can't do certain things. Whereas if I had just communicated initially and said, hey, I would really love to hang out with you guys, but I can't afford to eat out every day, that they will stop sending me those messages, right? So I just found myself beating around the bush a lot, right? Not really communicating what I really felt or what I, you know, thinking that they had these expectations, but they are over there thinking, this girl doesn't want to hang out with us. Like, she's always coming up with excuses. Maybe she doesn't like us, you know? So you just need to communicate effectively what you really, really mean. Don't beat around the bush when it comes to expectations, because, hey, you're going to end up hurting people, right? Or you hurt yourself. When I got married, I had this expectation of my husband that he was always going to take out the trash. Now, I never communicated this with him. I never told him that this is your job to take out the trash. I think this is what you should be doing. I just felt that he would know. So when the trash is full, I'll make snide comments like, I wish someone would take out this trash. We're only two in the house, but I'll make comments like, I wish someone would take out this trash. He's over there just watching TV and he probably doesn't understand what I'm saying, you know? And I would make all these comments around the trash until finally I would say, okay, can you take out the trash? And he's like, sure. And he would take out the trash. And then the very next time, so he had the understanding that, okay, whoever notices that the trash is full will take it out. But I had the expectation that you are to take out the trash because this is what I think you should be doing. And so when you don't communicate effectively, you always have people getting hurt because your expectations will never be met. The trash will always be there when, you know, you think it should be taken out. So communicating effectively is really crucial. The next thing I'm going to say is managing expectations. I try to put myself in other people's shoes, right? I'll give you an example. Valentine's Day is coming and a lot of people are expecting really great gifts. Now, especially girls, you know, I can be honest about that. We expect really good gifts for Valentine's Day. And unfortunately, some of us are not the best at giving the greatest gifts, but we expect really great gifts. Now, let's put ourselves in the shoes of the people that we're dating right now. Forget about who your friend is dating. Forget about what the people around you are saying they're getting, because some of these people are even lying. Let's talk about you now. You're dating someone who receives minimum wage, right? Depending on the state, $12 an hour for working somewhere, right? But you want an iPhone for Valentine's Day. Now, is that being realistic? Where is he going to get that money from? What body parts is he going to sell? Who is he going to have to sell or trade to get that iPhone for you? You know? And if he gets that iPhone for you, are you going to be comfortable using it knowing fully well that he has to pay this off in 12 months? Like, it makes sense that when we set expectations, that we're realistic about these expectations and we put ourselves in other people's shoes. We're like, okay, can this person afford this thing because on Valentine's Day, what's going to happen is he's going to show up with like roses and you're going to be very disappointed because you didn't get your iPhone. All right. So I think it's important that we put ourselves in other people's shoes. And another example I also give is that around this period, again, people are expecting to be proposed to, right? And that's great. It's wonderful. Now, you have this guy who has a secondhand car, right? He doesn't drive a brand new car. He can't afford it. He has a job that pays $50,000 a year. So he's not rich. When I say $50,000 in the American context, now I know if you're listening from other countries, you're probably thinking that's a lot of money. But if you live in the US, you know that that's really not a lot of money, because once you pay rent, once you pay all these other little bills attached to your rent, you know, you don't have a lot of money to do these outlandish things. Anyway, so you're dating this guy who has a secondhand car, who lives in an apartment, he doesn't have his own house yet, he probably makes minimum wage, but you're expecting to be proposed to with a 2-carat ring. Is that being realistic? Now, I can make this example very easily because I didn't grow up wearing jewelry. So for me, it's easy to make examples with jewelry because it don't mean that much to me. But do you see what I'm trying to explain to you? It's not being realistic, you know, when you ask someone. And what that does is it puts so much pressure on people right? When you set these expectations, really high expectations, you put a lot of pressure on people, and it just drains the relationship. Really, really drains the relationship. And so the second point that I'm really, really trying to make here, after you communicate effectively what you really want, is that you should try and put yourself in other people's shoes, right? That's all I'm going to say for that. So the third thing I'm going to say is don't make any assumptions. Try not to make assumptions. I remember probably a little over six, seven months ago, I was online researching fitness watches, right? And I spent a lot of time just researching that. Now, the reason why I was doing that was because I was just wondering how, if that would help me work out better, or how my fitness journey would improve if I got a fitness watch. And my husband would walk in the room and he would see me researching a lot. And I guess he then started to assume that I wanted this watch so bad, right? But he never talked to me about it. And so one day he showed up with a gift for me, and it was a watch. Now, I knew that the previous week we talked about money, and I knew where our finances were. I knew all the things that we're trying to achieve. And so I didn't expect him to give me that watch, you know? So I was very thankful for it. But then I asked him, like, why do you think that I wanted this watch? And he told me, well, you spent a lot of time looking it up. And then I realized that he had made an assumption that I really wanted the watch. Maybe down the line, I would have, you know, spoken to him about getting it. But at that time, it wasn't that I wanted the watch. I was just researching if I really needed it. So you see how assumptions can put a lot of pressure on you. But if you communicate effectively, where you're asking people, you're constantly talking to people about these things, instead of thinking that they're going to get it magically, that will save you a lot of stress, a lot of heartache. But now I have a fitness watch that I really enjoy using. But the example here is that at the time that I got it, he may have made an assumption that I really needed it, and that's why I was always looking it up. But it wasn't the case at the time, all right? I'll tell you another example of a time when I had really high expectations, and these expectations were really, really destroyed. Like, my expectation, my hopes, were dreams were cut short, basically. No, not really. But my dad's best friend had promised to buy us cell phones, right? And we saw him with a really nice cell phone, and now you know my obsession with cell phones. I really love cell phones, so I start to give all these examples because I do a lot of my cell phones, and this started a long time ago where I just, you know, I've always been really fascinated by cell phones, as you can tell. Fun fact is, when I started this podcast, I actually started recording with my cell phone. And so, yeah, I love all things cell phones. So yeah, my dad's friend, when I was in college, he promised to buy my sister and I cell phones. And this was way after, of course, my dad had bought us cell phones. We saw him with a really, really nice cell phone, and we were like, oh, this is so nice. You know, it was really one of those really nice cell phones. And he said, oh yeah, I could get you guys cell phones. Don't worry, when I get back home, I will send you guys, you girls, cell phones. So we're like, yay. And so we went back home, and I remember vividly, I went home and I ordered this sling purse, right, that I was going to put my cell phone in. My sister said to me, don't count your chicks before they hatch, right? But I didn't listen. I went ahead and I bought this sling bag, and I remember every day I was on my sister like, when is he going to send this thing? Like, I've already bought the purse, I'm going to put it in, but he hasn't sent it yet. And my sister is like, well, I told you not to buy this bag. So it took a while. I have to tell you, you know, we're way into the semester when we got the cell phone. So I probably wore this sling purse for another 4 months before we got the cell phones. And I remember one day my dad walked in and he's like, oh, you know, you guys got packages and we're tearing these packages open. And as soon as I see the cell phone, I was really let down. Now, why was I let down? He didn't buy us the cell phone that he promised to buy. That's the thing. He didn't promise to buy us the cell phone that he had. I had this belief that since we had seen his own phone, he was going to buy us the same phone that he had, right? No. He bought us, I don't know if you guys remember 3310. Well, he bought us like a big brother of 3310 now. So this is the thing. When your expectations are very high like that, and people don't meet this assumption or this pedestal that you've placed, right? What's going to happen is that you're not even going to appreciate the thing that they've done for you. No matter how little, you're going to be like, oh, this is not what I expected. And you'll be so let down. You wouldn't even appreciate what's right in front of you. So he bought us a phone at that time. I don't even know if he had a camera. You know, I was really let down because I was like, well, I thought he was going to buy us the phone that he had, you know? And that attitude is what you really want to avoid. So thinking back at it, my sister said, well, he didn't say he was going to buy us the phone that he had, did he? You know, and I was just like, well, I bought this expensive sling purse to put that really nice, sophisticated phone, which we ended up not getting done. But that taught me a really important lesson. I have to lower my expectations of others. I really have to. The only person that I really have high expectations of is my husband, because I feel like we put so much love. It's a give and take relationship where we put love into our relationship and we expect to be loved back, right? We've made vows. But I've come to the point where maturing now, no longer in my 20s, maturing, I'm learning that you don't put these high expectations on people. You don't make assumptions. You don't set yourself up for heartbreak, right? You have to learn to manage your expectations as you grow. And so the third point I'm making is don't make any assumptions. Don't make any assumptions. And so that when they don't meet those expectations, you're not crushed forever. You know what I mean? And by lowering your expectations, you stay grateful for the little things, right? So when I don't expect you to do something for me and you do something for me, I'm like, wow, wow, thank you. You know, gratitude still stays there. So I guess the fourth thing I want to say is minimize your expectations, not really lower them, but minimize them to a point where when those things that are going to happen do happen, someone like me who has a really wild imagination, you know, sometimes I over expect things, people to do certain things for me, and when they don't do those things, I feel crushed, right? So I have to learn to minimize those expectations. Valentine's Day is coming. I've already told my husband, you're getting socks, boxes, and perfume. Probably you're not even getting perfume, because the perfume I got for you for Christmas, you haven't even gone halfway. Now, of course, we know that I'm not gonna do that. I probably will get him those things and some really nice experience, but you see what I did there? I minimized that expectation. So that when the time comes and I do go ahead and do what I have planned for him, it will be like, wow, wow. Okay, moving on. Now, the fifth and final thing I'm going to say about managing expectations of others is I'm going to say the way you interpret a situation is very, very crucial. The way you interpret a situation is crucial. Now, why do I say this? I'll give you one example. Last year when I was starting, not even last year, about probably 2 years ago, when I was starting this whole podcast, social media thing, and, you know, trying to get a hang of it, a friend of mine reached out to me and she said, I know you're starting your social media platform. And she's like, well, this other girl wrote a book about this whole thing you're trying to do, right? I think you should get that book. And she said, it's even on sale right now. I think you should get it. And she's like, either she said, I'm going to get it, or she said she already had it. So it was one of those things where someone is trying to help you build your platform and they're like, hey, this is a good resource. I think you should have it. And at that time, we just got married, we had all these bills, we're trying to figure out all these things out. I could not afford it. I already knew that. When she sent the text message, I already knew that I couldn't afford that at that time. What I was thinking was that I'm going to tell her that I cannot afford to buy this book, and that when she's done reading it, that she should give me the book so that I too can read it. Then I thought to myself again that, okay, this is probably not a great idea. Maybe I should suggest that we split the cost of this book, right? When we split the cost of this book, when she buys the book and she reads it, when she's done reading it, then she can give me the book and I can read it as well. Now, the way I read books is I really don't read books twice. So when I read books, I make all these notes. So I know that when I read the book, I'm not going to need that book again. I'm going to give it back and that's going to be it. So I said, okay, that seems fine. Now, to be honest, so I couldn't afford to even do the splitting at the time because I had no budget for that. It wasn't something I planned to buy. Here I was going to channel this amount of money for something but I thought that, okay, she thinks this is going to help me. Instead of me to ask her to give me this book when she's done reading it, why don't we split the cost? Now, I know that after she's done reading, I'm done reading, I'm not going to need this anymore, blah, 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 blah. So I suggested that. Here's what I'm going to say. I should have told her what the initial problem was, that I can't afford to buy this book right now. But what I said was, let's split the cost of this book. And that way we both can read the book. And the response came back and she said no. Now, when I saw that no, I felt really bad. I can say that now. I felt really bad, but I responded. I said, okay, I appreciate that. I respect your decision and that's it. But I have to be honest, I felt bad. And as I started to process this in my head, I realized that I didn't give her a chance to say no. So when I made that request, I already assumed that she was going to say yes. And it hurt my feelings that she didn't say yes. But then as I continued to think about it, I realized that I had placed a high expectation, really high expectation. I had, you know, I thought that because we were friends, every request that I make, she has to say yes to. But the truth is, she doesn't have to say yes to every request I make. She may have her reasons, and I have to respect that. I learned that from this experience that my friends have the right to say no to me. I also can say no to my friends, but it doesn't mean that we don't love each other. The way that I interpreted that situation, if I had been honest with her about the reason why I was trying to split the cost of the book, she probably would have said, hey, I'll buy you the book. you know, or she, I don't know how that situation would have panned out. But again, I didn't communicate effectively. I had these assumptions. I didn't minimize my expectations. Of course, when it happened that the person said no, I was crushed, you know, naturally. So those are kind of five ways that you can manage your expectations. You can communicate effectively. You can put yourself in other people's shoes. Don't make assumptions, you know, minimize those expectations. And of course, make sure that your interpretation of a situation is wholesome or it's broad enough. Not just thinking about yourself. You're thinking about by putting yourself in other people's shoes, you're also trying to think about how that situation is affecting them as well. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about, are there times when it's right to actually have expectations? Because it seems like, you know, life happens. Sometimes people make these promises, but they can't keep these promises because, hey, life does happen, doesn't it? You know, so we're going to talk about if it's right to even have high hopes or high expectations of someone and how we can best manage those situations. We'll be right back. Hi, my name is Dr. Ozi, and I'm the host of this podcast, The Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I moved to the United States as an international student. I got my PhD, and then I self-petitioned for a green card under the Employment-Based Second Preference National Interest Waiver category, or the EB2 NIW category. So I moved directly from an F1 visa to a green card. I applied for a green card during my OPT training as a postdoctoral fellow, and I did not need a sponsor, nor did I employ the services of any lawyers, so I saved thousands of dollars. I've put together an ebook to guide individuals who qualify for the EB2 NIW category to successfully self-petition for their green cards. This ebook contains all the information you're going to need to self-petition for your green card. It contains ready-to-use templates like cover letters, petition letters, recommendation letters, as well as information on all the documents you're going to need to apply for your green card under the EB2 NIW category. To grab a copy of this ebook, visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com/immigration. You can send an email to talesbydrozi@gmail.com. You can also find information about this ebook in the show notes of this episode. Okay, so welcome back. There's a line in Shakespeare that expectation is the root of heartbreak. And of course, you know, I guess someone out there is wondering if it's even right to have any expectations of anyone, including yourself, you know? So do I set goals for myself? Yes. Do I have high expectations of myself? Yes, I do. But how do I manage my own expectations of myself? How do I manage my expectations of myself? One of the things that you can learn, which I've had to learn the past year, you know, is that I need to love myself. I need to appreciate myself. And I need to be nice to myself. Being nice to yourself is also includes not being too hard on yourself when something that you expect to happen doesn't happen. So in the past, what would happen is if I turn in an application and I get rejected, I take it so hard on myself. So I sit there thinking, why me? Like, why didn't they accept me? You know, and I take it personal. You know, I mean, just like cringe, just they have a really bad evening because someone somewhere didn't accept my application. And I just had to learn to be kind to myself, you know? And so when I set my personal goals, I have to know that there is room for self-care here. If this thing doesn't go as planned, what is my backup plan? You know, how am I going to take care of me? And so one way that I get around it is by setting realistic goals, being honest about where I am right now. I'll give you an example. So I say this a lot on the podcast where I decided I wanted to live in America. My expertise will be of best use here because the facilities are here to do the research. We can touch more lives here. You know, I think that this is the place for me to be right now. So I decided that I was going to apply for my green card, and you know, the way that I was going to do it was through the EB2 NIW category, which is a merit-based category. You know, they have all these criteria that you have to meet before you can turn in your application. You have to have advanced degree, you have to have years of experience, you have to have awards, things that show that you're exceptional. And back to the point where I was making, saying you have to be honest with yourself with where you are right now. It's not just turning in an application. No, you have to look at what you have. Look at your resume and say to yourself, with this skills that I have, with this experiences that I've acquired, with this awards that I have, is my resume going to be strong enough to get the green card through the EB2 NIW category? I think for so many people, that's the hardest question. But you have to be honest with yourself. Now, when you decide that that application is strong enough to apply for your green card, Then you write your petition letter. Then you collect these recommendation letters. Then you put your application together and you send it in, right? Now, the expectation is that when you send that application in, you will get an approval, right? But it starts with you being honest with where you are right now. And that's the conversation I have with a lot of people who buy my book and a lot of people who are ready to send in their applications. So I wrote that book because I wanted to help people who meet that criteria, right? Who have that advanced degree or who have evidence to show that they have done certain things that show they're exceptional. I wanted to show them how to package their petition letters and how to write a convincing petition letter, you know, collect the best recommendation letters and get their green cards. Now, but they also have to be very honest with themselves about where they are right now, right? It's not just about writing a petition letter and then turning it in. No. Even when I was getting ready to apply, I looked at my resume and I was just like, okay, I need to do a little bit more. And so I started doing things to make that resume look even better, you know? And so the very first part of not setting yourself up for a really big letdown is by being realistic about where you are right now. Do you need more skills? Do you need to acquire more skills? Do you need to do a little bit more? So by doing that, it helps you set realistic goals and then you're going to do better. The next thing I do is I try to live in the present. So a lot of times we're chasing after so many things, and because we're chasing after all these things, we forget to live in the present. Right? It's always about the future. When I hammer, when I make it, when I do this. But you're forgetting that you have here and now to really be happy and enjoy and everything. And so in setting those expectations, remember that you have to take care of the most important person in the equation, and that's you. All right? Take care of you. Now, are there times when setting expectations can be great? Yes, of course. As a parent, you need to set expectations of your kids. Your kids need to know that you believe in them and this is what you expect of them, right? You expect them to do well in school. You expect them to put their best in their sports, whatever it is that they're really interested in. So there are times when you have to set expectations. My parents had high expectations for me, and expectations of itself is not bad, but you have to set high expectations with low pressure, minimum pressure, right? So don't say things like, go to school and get an A or else don't come back to this house, which is something that I heard a lot growing up with, not in my family, but with other people around. No, that is setting a high expectation, but also putting high pressure on someone to achieve. So you don't want to do that. You want to set high expectations, but also give people the skills they need to achieve those goals. So instead of saying, don't come back to this house if you don't get an A, you know, you say, what do you need to get an A? You give them textbooks, you probably buy a laptop, you probably pay for extra lessons. You know, you give the child the tools that they need to succeed, right? So it's important that as you set these expectations, because setting high expectations can lead one to achieving their full potential. You know, it can help your kids be the best they can be, you know, and all that. But when you put that pressure, what it does is that they're trying so hard to live up to your expectations that they're not even having a life. You're not communicating. It's really, really bad. Even as a boss and in your office, you want to make sure that when you set this high expectation of your employees, you also give them the tools they need to succeed, all right? You know, I hope you've had a chance to really think about what I'm saying, especially as Valentine's Day is coming around. There are people whose expectations are going to be crushed. People are going to be crushed. Why? Because they're not really honest with themselves in realizing where they are right now. They're not thinking about communicating effectively. They are not putting themselves in other people's shoes. They're not really assessing situations wholesomely. They're not looking at the whole picture. They're making a lot of assumptions. And so you don't really want to do that this year. And so, you know, try to communicate your needs and your wants clearly. Don't drop all these hints and then people miss them and you get so mad about it, you know? And I hope that really helps us have a better year. I really hope that helps you. So let me know what you guys think about this episode. Have you really been let down? And how did that turn out, you know? Let me know. So now, of course, if you pay for a service, then scrap everything I said. When you pay for a service, your expectations should be through the roof. When you pay for stuff, people have to deliver. All right. Have a great one, guys. Bye-bye.
Hey listener, what do you think about this episode? Do you have a question or some feedback that you would like to provide or a suggestion for a future guest? Now you can send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio messages that just might end up on a future episode of the podcast. You can send me a voice message right now just by clicking on the link in my show notes. Can't wait to hear from you.